You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. This is the second half of my interview with Troy and Shelley Post of Stampede Airsoft. Enjoy the show. POWs and people who survive extreme personal disasters categorically attribute their survival to their faith. Now, sometimes they get out of that situation, they forget about God, and they go on to be neoconservative rhino senators who vote for Hillary, but that's a rabbit trail we won't go down today. The point is, faith is real. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but it's something that has to be fostered and nurtured before you find yourself in a critical incident. Folks want to know where you get that brand of faith that sustains you when your world is turned upside down. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can you talk to us about the tangible actions you take to build your faith?
I am not as diligent in reading my Bible as Troy is. He'll read it on his phone if he's got 5 minutes. He's constantly reading, and then he'll relay it back to me. I read other books. I read a lot of Christian fiction that actually, like, touches me in a way that I need to be spoken to. And I do read my Bible. I'm just not as diligent as Troy. But I think that we speak about it a lot together. I mean, we'll sit in the house and just talk about our past and the way that the Lord has kind of led us in certain directions and the people we've met and the opportunities that we've been given. And I think that and surrounding ourselves with family that's very godly and that always give us that bright message, I think is important. And just from my perspective, I see that Troy, and I will let him speak, but I see that Troy is I've seen him bring a lot of people to Christ. I've seen him bring two specifically to Christ, and that's important. That's a warrior. And to hear Troy talk, he's very he's really good at when he talks to people. Not preaching to him, because we just feel like our testimony is what's important, because that's all we really have. Because people can read the Bible themselves, but it's your testimony. So we feel like our testimony is something. But when you hear Troy talk, I just heard him listening to a message that he'd given to his mom, and it's powerful, you know. And I think that even on our run, we talk to the crew, you know. I mean, so you never know who you're going to talk to, but I think being real and not being ashamed is very tangible to me. But I think that we live it, and we make it a very strong part of our marriage. Troy, go ahead.
That's the key. No, I mean, you hit on everything. I mean, that's the key is you have to live it. You know, a lot of people talk. I always say, you know, show me, don't tell me. You know, I mean, if you a lot of people can talk is cheap, but show me in your life. Show me where you're living for Jesus. Show me, you know, what are you doing? You know, we're supposed to be warriors for Jesus. And what are we really doing down here? Are we, you know, that should be our main job on this earth. And, you know, I think we all fall short of that, no matter who you are and how good you are and how close you are to God. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, if we had faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. So, think how small all of our faith is and how much bigger it can actually get if we just took the time for it. So, you know, being on the run and taking more time and seeing how our faith grew a little bit more and more each day shows us that we need to spend more time with God. And whether that's reading your Bible every day or just taking 5 seconds and just saying a silent prayer, if you're walking, doing exercise, it doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't care. He just wants you to take that time. So that's what I try to do every day is I try to take that time out, you know, because my time's not valuable. It's God's time. You know, I'm here for God. He can take me any second he wants, and I'm ready whenever that comes. But I try to be the salt and the light like God wants us to be, so that people can see that through us, that so, you know, when I'm not here anymore someday, people can see that, oh, Troy was this and Shelly was that and their marriage was strong and it was because of this that, you know, God got them through this and these cool things they got to do in their life. It's because they followed the path of Jesus. And you know what? A lot of times, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean your life is going to be, you're going to have all these opportunities. We just, you know, that's how God set our life up. But there's other things that you're going to do that you may minister to thousands of people and, you know, bring lots of people to Christ. So, I mean, we all have different paths in life, but, you know, like my uncle told me, he said, Troy, just think about it. He said, think how many people watch that show, 5 million people or whatever. He said, you got to talk about Jesus to 5 million people. He said, how cool is that? And that really, like, I was like really shaken by that. I was like, wow, that is amazing to think that God chose me and Shelly for that opportunity. I'd have never thought in a million years that that little snippet would come on there and we got to talk about Jesus. I mean, even now doing your podcast and we're sitting here talking about Jesus, how awesome is this? So, you know, we're very thankful for everything and all the blessings that God continually gives us in our lives.
And we're talking about faith and we're talking about the surveillance state at the same time. And most everyone who listens to this show breathed a big sigh of relief last November. But I worry that Trump doesn't understand the issues we have concerning government surveillance. I might trust him with the keys a little bit more than Hillary, but we can't forget that this pendulum is eventually going to swing back to the other side. 8 years from now, we can have a communist worse than Bernie Sanders, and we've already seen the type of persecution that, that Christians had to endure under the Obama administration. Sweet Cakes Bakery, they were sued out of business. Coach Joe Kennedy, he was suspended for praying at a football game. Manifa Sterling was court-martialed from the Marines for having a Bible verse on her desk. And Kim Davis was locked up in a jail cell for her faith in Kentucky, of all places. I mean, Kentucky's the buckle of the Bible Belt. How do you guys feel about trading freedom for security?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll tell you. After learning what they can do and the, you know, capabilities that they have, I'm not all for the surveillance stuff. I think we need to go back to old school and we all need to kind of like look out for each other, protect each other. You know, I think, you know, we're all for guns, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. You know, I think people are too afraid of guns, I think. But I think you're absolutely right about, you know, I'm not sure that Trump understands everything that's really going on. And I know he's the president, but there's a lot of side stuff that goes on that I don't think presidents are told and things like that. And, you know, that's where it just gets bad. And, you know, when he was talking about draining the swamp and everything, I don't know that he knows there's probably another swamp somewhere that he doesn't know about, but you know, it's scary. I'm not for the whole surveillance thing. I mean, I don't know.
It was pretty surreal. And even watching the show and, you know, the authority that they have and the ability of everything. And, you know, they've got tricks that they're not letting, you know, out of their sleeve. That's even scarier to me because, I mean, at what point does it use against us? And that is very scary. That's a very, very scary, like I'm a good girl. I don't want to be a fugitive, but, and I like to know that fugitives will be caught, but then you've got your everydayers that shouldn't be viewed as deeply. And it's concerning.
The problem is, I think they look in the wrong directions for things sometimes. I mean, you know, it's so hard. It's so difficult. It really comes down to we need to put God first in everything and listen to what God's trying to show us for everything. And we need to protect our country first before we start trying to save everybody else and get our country in order first. And really, I think it's just gotten so far out of hand because we've just went so many places, you know, trying to help other countries and stuff. And I'm not saying not to help people. I know Jesus said to love everybody, but you know, we're supposed to get ourselves straight first before we can help others. And we're not even close to being straight. This country's a mess and it's getting worse. Like you're saying with the surveillance and stuff. And it's scary.
That was the premise of this show. When we were casted for it was, what are your thoughts on privacy versus security? And I think that the way that we went and we really didn't leave a trail at all, I think that is the way that probably most in the country would believe would be the right way to do things. But there's always that trail. There's always, you know, there's always a trail, and that's what they're trying to drive home is even if you erase everything, it's still there, you know?
Well, there's no privacy. I mean, they have drones that can see, and you'll never even know they're there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where do you hide? You're going to go in the woods in the middle of nowhere and have a cabin. That's great, but a satellite's going to pick you up. So you really, unless you have, like, a shelter, like, way underground, which they have satellites that can see underground, too. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's out there, but, and you know, so how do you actually truly get away? That's the problem. And then it's just, you kind of get to the point and you're like, what's the point? What are we supposed to do? You know, and until the government changes things. And even then, how do you know they're really changed?
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
And there was a couple of things that I did learn from the show. One was this idea that, you know, the hunters, which is basically sort of the government, they have this sort of assumed access. And the right before you guys were caught, they're getting ready to approach the property. They see a no trespassing sign. So this takes away that assumed access. So I think that anytime you can do anything that takes away that assumed access, or you're blocking access, or you're making it harder for people to access, I think that that's a step in the right direction. You know, I put up a no trespassing sign after I saw that. I just put that up on my property just to say, hey, you know what? You don't have assumed access to my property and my privacy, you know, and it, you know, it was something that just legally, it was like a little legal block there. I'm sure, I know if you've got a warrant, you know, that's not going to stop anything, but without a warrant, you know, they don't really have any access to be there and they're not allowed to be there. So, I thought that was something that folks can do. And another thing I saw is, you know, you don't have to, I know that there's rules for hunted, but in the real world, you don't have to answer the door. You don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to interact with these people unless you're being detained, you're under arrest. And then at that point, you know, make sure you've got a lawyer with you unless they're shipping you off to Guantanamo.
Absolutely. Yep. And that was the thing that we had to assume on this show, and this may be a little bit of an insight here, but that we were considered to be, or we were told we were kind of considered to be like the world's worst fugitives, right? So they had all access to everything. So when we were in this game, that's what we had in mind. And when they showed up, we were like, okay, she's the only one that knows we're here. What? And so it was not an option for us to stay there. There's no way. There's no way you can stay there. Because just assume they have access. You know what I'm saying? So for us, it, at that point right there, man, what a pinch point for us. And I think that was probably the worst feeling we had during the whole entire, I mean, everything was like, okay, now what? Yeah. You know, and that was, and looking back, that's the only thing that we would have changed was having an out strategy at that particular moment. Like, we just didn't, you know? So yeah, it's pretty, it was pretty surreal. And I do believe in the whole no trespassing thing. I do think that that's extremely important. And yeah, I mean, but do you have to have a gate up around your whole house? You know, I don't know. Do you? Would you have to?
I think it really comes down to how wanted are you by the government?
Yeah.
Like, are you wanted by local authorities? Are you wanted by federal authorities? Are you wanted by, you know, like the top tier? Because
that's just we're talking about the game. You're talking about real world scenario, yeah. Which is yes, put up a sign and at least you have some sort of hopeful stand. Hopeful. I don't know, man. I worry about everything at this point. I mean, if they have this much access to everything, are we even safe from our own people? That's a scary thought, really.
Yeah.
That's a really scary thought.
So talk to us a little bit about Stampede Airsoft. I guess for one thing, it's a great way to get off the couch and get outside and get some fresh air, but could Airsoft also be a valuable training mechanism for self-defense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, the pistols, all the weapons are one-to-one replicas of the real thing. So, you know, they look and feel and tear down just like the real thing. So, you know, body mechanics and stuff, it trains your body to, you know, use the weapon in a safe way that, you know, and it's inexpensive, but in a safe way too, that it's not going to harm anybody or harm the environment. You could use it indoors or whatever if you're doing training indoors and stuff.
And
windows and stuff. But it's a really good, I think it's a really good tool. And all the gear and stuff we wear is all real world stuff. So, you know, when we do scenarios and things like that, it's all real world type stuff. You know, it's actually replicated scenarios or the facilities that we go to do the scenarios and stuff are pretty amazing.
I think even, in our showroom, I've seen such a turn of parents that come in and they want, and it's not just for kids, obviously, because we've got mothers and fathers. I've had grandparents. We've got a buddy named Bill. He's like 72 and he comes out and plays on the weekends. I mean, it's a very, 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 it's a great sport. It's great for socializing. But what I've seen even in our store is you'll have people that come in and you can tell like they don't have any experience with weapons. And they're a little bit leery of them. And then they're, you know, they're getting involved a little bit more. So they're handling them better. You know, that's one of the things that when we have kids come out, we teach them, you know, keep your finger off the trigger. Don't flag people. We try to keep them into the safety situation. And, yep. You know, I kind of threaten them, to be honest. But I threaten to rip their fingers off. But it's more or less, you know, teaching them gun safety. And I tell them, you treat this like a real weapon because it will hurt somebody. You know, but we have officers that come in and they buy gear at our store. We have police departments around here that are actually buying them for training because they can clear out buildings and things and not do damage to their facilities.
Plus, it's more accurate than simmunitions. It's got a little bit more range than simmunitions and stuff. So
it's not as expensive. Yeah. So it's an excellent training tool. But it's excellent for honing your tactics. You know, learning tactics. For me, my tactics are learning to trust Troy more and not question him when he tells me to go and, you know, get behind cover. I need to make sure that I just do it because he's already seeing things. So, but it's a great time and it's good for camaraderie and everything too, you know?
And there's all different weapons for basically every weapon that's out there. There's a airsoft replica. I mean, whether it's a you know, light machine gun or a sniper rifle or a pistol or anything, submachine gun.
Sound grenades,
yeah,
whatever.
There's everything. So you get to learn to use, like, how would you use a flashbang? How would you use a smoke grenade? How would you use a, you know, a sniper rifle? How would your, if you had a squad of guys or a few guys, how would you utilize a support gunner on your squad and a sniper? And how would you do, you know, we have radio communication we use too. So how do you use radio comms, you know, when you're playing a scenario to achieve a task and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of cool things that you have to do that you're kind of put in the mix of learning, you know, reading maps, getting to certain coordinates.
Learning how to hide.
Yeah, learning how to conceal yourself, you know, mm-hmm. how do you sneak behind enemy lines? How do you, you know, do different things? So there's a lot of things that make it very fun and interesting. And, you know, you can do basic stuff all the way up to extreme stuff. And it just comes down to how serious you want to get and, you know.
Airsoft is everywhere from, you know, like your weekend paintball player type scenarios, all the way up to military simulation that you play at. They play at decommissioned
nuclear power plants.
They've played at
there's
Muscatec, and I mean, yeah, there's places everybody plays everywhere, and it's a.
I mean, we play at a prison down In Immokalee. It's a old maximum security prison. And last time we went and played, we're getting ready to go back there again this year. But it's a huge facility. It's like 2,100 acres, and they use it for military training now. But we did Little Bird helicopter gun runs on it last time. We would sit on the outside skids of the helicopter, four of us, and they would take
fly
us around, and we'd fly around the prison and shoot people awesome. As they're doing their scenarios in the prison. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty cool.
You can't do that with real weapons.
Yeah, I mean, you use night vision goggles at night and everything. It's crazy. There's vehicles and...
And I'm going to be, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I do all the time. You know, it's fun to hunt animals if you're going to eat them, but it sure is more fun to shoot people because they squeal. And, you know, you can't get in trouble for it.
What's the typical distance that a pellet will fire?
If you're going to get any kind of accuracy, probably the furthest you're going to go is about 300 feet. With like a sniper rifle, you can go a little bit further, but... You know, and that's hitting like a torso-sized target. But, I mean, that's, for what we do, that's pretty darn good. And you're not going to see who shot you, or you're not going to hear where it came from or anything at that far. So.
And you've got everything from, you know, fake suppressors, different flash hiders to different optics, lasers, flashlights. I mean, everything that you would use in real world is in airsoft as well. So, I mean, we have a lot of people that come in that don't play airsoft, but they want to train because they have their real rifles or their real pistols. They build an airsoft weapon that is it. They feel almost weighted the same, really. Right. And they'll pretend or practice in their home, clearing their home with an airsoft rifle. So it's a safe thing. It's a very safe, safe situation. It's very well usable. That's for sure.
And do you guys have a facility nearby your store where you guys play, and when do you play?
Yeah, we have a field that we play at on Saturdays, every Saturday usually, unless there's an away game. But we'll play every Saturday from like 9 to 3:30, and then, you know, we go to the store after that. But our store is open Monday through Saturday, but Monday through Friday, 11
and we've never really advertised. Honestly, we've never really advertised for our store or our field. It's all been word of mouth. But even just this weekend, we had about 50 new players, just brand new people. You know, and it's insane.
So
I mean,
a total 100 some people.
Yeah, it's not a super huge field. There's definitely larger fields. But for what we have, and it's somewhat intimate. Everybody is super friendly, and everybody pretty much obeys the rules. So It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's almost 10 acres, but we have like kill houses on it. We have vehicles. There's, you know, all kinds of bunkers and all different types of scenarios. It's wooded and stuff.
There's wood, there's sand, there's buildings. Yeah, so there's a lot of different.
There's different scenarios that we play and stuff like that. So it's a fun time. You get a lot of trigger time and you have to really think quick, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have an online store?
We're working on it. I believe it will be up very, very soon. I've had people ask me for the last 4 years, and most of the time I grit my teeth when I hear about it. But yes, it should be up. We've just been on and off about whether or not to actually launch it. But yes, I will try to have it up by the podcast.
And you mentioned that folks can use the exact same load-bearing equipment that they'd use for their regular firearms. As far as magazine pouches and all of that.
Absolutely.
Holsters, yep. Everything.
Yep.
Holsters, magazine, or mag pouches. We've got chest rigs.
Got grenades. We have every kind of pouch you can imagine.
Yeah, all of that. And you can slings.
Come in, yeah, you can come in. We have all kinds of plate carriers. You can come in and build however you want it to be, fit, feel, look, color, whatever. We got everything.
And what's the price range for a typical gun?
Anywhere from $168 up to $500, $600, $700, depending. Stock gun, I mean, pretty much your basic mid-grade, pretty decent's going to be around $300, $350 maybe. Depending if you want a specialty weapon, obviously those get a little bit more pricey, and the cool thing is they're all modifiable and buildable. That's kind of where we got our start, was building guns. We build custom guns. We modify them and repair them too. So that's always been a big, we usually carry a lot of gun work. So that's kind of one of our
We have anywhere from like 80 guns to whatever at all times that we're continually working on. So we're trying to knock that list down, but we get them shipped in from all over the world. So
actually, there are guns that go up to about $2,500 too. Yeah. Those are called PTWs or personal training weapons. Troy's one of the only guys in the country that actually – we're one of the only shops in the country right now that even service them. So that seems to keep us busy sometimes too.
Yeah.
And those are more of a – they break down like a real weapon. I mean, those are more even us a grade higher than the ones that we have on our wall. Those are really – more realistic in their firing mechanisms.
All right. So tell us where you're at. How do people get a hold of you if they're in that section of Florida and they want to come out and play and what's it cost to play and then what's the website going to be?
Our website's going to be stampedeairsoft.com. And it's already got the little thing up that says we're in progress. So that's been up there for a while. Stampede Airsoft is on 7801 Congress Street in Newport Richey, Florida. We have a nice big shop there, lots of stuff in our showroom. And our field is about 3 miles away. We play on Saturdays from 9:30 to 3:30. It's only $10 for the day. We do carry rental gear, so if we have a pretty good rental fleet now, so you're welcome to come out. It's like $20 to rent and then 10 to play. So we've got that. And then we play at away games too. If you want to get hold of us, we're on Facebook. It's Stampede Airsoft on Facebook. We're on Instagram as Stampede Airsoft, and we even aren't on Twitter. So and we have our hunted page too. So there's a million ways to get hold of us. And a lot of people, when they're looking for gun work and things like that, they'll either call us, and our number is 727-807-3390. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 7, and Saturdays after the field we go from 4 to 6. So Mondays are still questionable. We have them off right now, but we are always available on Facebook. We get messages all the time, so if anybody has any questions, we've got a pretty good response time on that.
Yep.
Well, Shelly, Troy, we really appreciate you making time to talk to us on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. It was fun talking to you. It's kind of neat doing this, so we enjoyed it. And thank you for letting us talk about Jesus.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.